Well, if you are with us for the first time, or if you were not here last week, we have been over the past 3-4 weeks looking on the subject of same-sex relationship, refers to sometimes as homosexuality, and as I've said last week, that terms refer to both a man-man relationship and a woman-woman relationship. There are times when the woman-woman relationship is distinguished by the word lesbianism. But the word homosexuality also cover lesbianism. We have been looking on that because it is said in religious circles that nowhere has the Almighty God spoken explicitly and plainly on that subject. And especially the lesson last week, this week, we are showing that in all the Bible ages, called biblical dispensation, in all of them, and there are three of them. You have the patriarchal, you have the Mosaic, and you have the Christian. These are the three Bible ages. These are the three Bible dispensations. The patriarchal age was when the Almighty God speak mainly to the Father. In fact, that's the idea in the word patriarch, the Father. It was in the beginning of time when the Almighty God, whenever he wanted anything done, he speak to the head of the household, the Father. That is known as the patriarchal age, and that started from creation right up to the time of Jacob. The end of Jacob's life, or the beginning of Moses' life. Then the Mosaical dispensation was when the Almighty God used Moses as a lawgiver, giving Moses the law, the entire system by which the Jewish people, the Israelites, lived. That is known as the Mosaical dispensation. And mark you, for this, the total of some 1,500 years, that was the rule by which men and women lived. Mark you, get this. The system of the law, Sabbath and all, that was given only to the Jews. That is even acknowledged in the New Testament in the book of Romans chapter 2. We're not going to read that. I'm just dropping that by. The book of Romans chapter 2 from around verse 12, following, stating that the Gentile did not have the law, which means God did not give them. It was given to the Jews, the Israelites, by Moses. That is known as the Mosaical dispensation. Then the Christian dispensation. The Bible refers to the Christian dispensation. Now, you and I live under the Christian dispensation. The Bible refers to the Christian dispensation as the end of the ages. I'll talk about those of us upon whom the end of the ages have come. The Bible also refers to the Christian dispensation as the last days. So my point this morning is that in the patriarchal dispensation, God spoke explicitly, plainly, on the wrongness, the abnormality of homosexual relations. And the Mosaical dispensation, in the Mosaical dispensation, God speak very plainly on that. And this is where we are going to, we left off last week. in the passage of Genesis chapter 19. We are still in the patriarchal dispensation. Genesis chapter 19. I made the statement last week, and I make it again. It's a type of reinforcement. Get this. You read about divorce in the Old Testament, and New, but in the Old Testament, a man or a woman could put away his marital partner for any reason. And this was done in the Old Testament, especially by the men. You could divorce for any reason. You didn't like how your wife smiled, how she wore, how she looked at you, and you could divorce. In the Old Testament, you also read about slavery. Abraham had slaves. Isaac had slaves. Jacob had slaves. In the Old Testament, you read about adultery. I'm not saying it's just Old Testament. But brothers and sisters, in fact, let me just drop this by. In the Old Testament, you read about polygamy, polygamous relationship. That is, a man having more than one wife. Now, I'm here to tell you that those have always been wrong and sinful. Now, it's important that we understand this. There are many men and women today who will bring David as an example for worship. They'll tell you, David uses harp and is this, and why can't we have the piano? David is not an example for worship. Not for New Testament worship. But David also practiced polygamy. But David is not an example for the Christian home or marriage. You know, Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ said in the book of Matthew chapter 19 that from the beginning it was not so. What was not so? The type of marriage, divorce and remarriage, polygamous relationship that you all have, you Israelite practice down through the ages. Jesus Christ is saying, God did not give you that type of system. Watch, you know, God allowed it because you Israelite were practicing it. And in God, forbearance or tolerance, he allowed it, but that's not God's will. That's the opposite of God's will. So, yeah, I started out to... When a man... Because remember, polygamy is practiced today in some country. Last week, I remember sharing with you, I went to college with even roommate with people like student from Bangkok, Thailand, where at that time, polygamy was practiced. I roommate with student from Nigeria. When I was going to college, polygamy was practiced in Nigeria. And I shared with you last week, Eddie had to deal with a brother in the church who had a wife there in England, and he had one or two left back in Nigeria. And he didn't divorce any of them because the laws of Nigeria permit that once you are able to, you can marry. But watch you know. You see, in God's sight, you marry one woman or one man. The moment you go and contract another marriage, that's sinful. That's adultery. But they are married, Brother Mitchell. No, you should. That second marriage should never have taken place. But Brother Mitchell, you see, I'm not have that in the Old Testament. Yes, it was sinful. It has always been. But because of the moral infancy of the Old Testament period, the Almighty God, notice I use the word allow or permit. Jesus Christ used that word in Matthew chapter 19. Because of the hardness of your heart, Moses permitted you to put away your wife. That is because of the sinfulness of your heart. But from the beginning, it was not so. So pick up now, no, Brother Mitchell. Thank you for reminding me to pick up. So I said now, polygamy, adultery, slavery are all of them ungodly, immoral, and sinful. They were then and they are now. But they were permitted by God at times. Are we all there? Jacob, Moses, David, and others practiced polygamy and had slaves. Many of us, we are Jamaican because of slavery. Our DNA is in Africa. That's where we spring from. It's slavery that brought our four parents here. We are those who could get the upper hand, brought us here because of money, economic consideration. It is wrong, sinful, and ungodly when any man or woman use the talent, the effort, the strength, the resource of another human being without reasonable and adequate compensation. Slavery is as immoral and as wrong and as ungodly as you can get. Yet the Almighty God permitted it. And the Bible state in passage, what I'm saying here, you know, Solomon said that God made man righteous and holy, but man invented, Yes. May I? Polygamy, slavery. Adultery, all these are inventions of man. They are all ungodly. Are we all there? Note God's attitude, as I've said, in these biblical ages. So we go back now to the passage of Genesis 19. One following. Let us hear the passage. Genesis 19, one following. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot saw these strangers coming, rose up to meet them. That was a common practice in those days, that you accommodate and show kindness to stranger. Read on. And he bowed his face towards the ground. Yes, Lot bowed his face towards the ground.
And he said,
That is, Lot saw these two men as travelers and felt that they have been traveling and decided to relieve them of their tiredness, of their weariness, of their thirsty, of their hunger. He invite them to spend the night in his house to get a good rest. At this time, Lot could never have known that they were angels sent by God to certify. Did I say certify? Yes. To go down to Sodom and Gomorrah and make sure that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah is as it has come up to heaven. These angels had gotten authority from the Almighty God that if the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah is as it has come up to heaven, the angel should destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot invite these two strangers, not knowing who they were. Read.
And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night."
No, we will abide in the street all night. You see, they were sent by God and they need to carry out some investigation. That's why they were willing. They were willing to walk the street and to see if the men of the street would make pass at them. That's right. We will abide in the street all night. Read.
And he pressed upon them greatly.
And Lot pressed upon them, encouraged them. No. You see, Lot knew the men of the city. Lot knew the sinful and the moral degradation of the city. And Lot knew that it was not safe for the men to stay in the city, but had Lot known with whom he was talking that these were angels, he would know that it is not the two men for whom it was not safe. It was not safe for the men of the city to interfere with these angels. Read on, brother.
And they turned in unto him.
Lot persuaded them. Lot persuaded them. They came into Lot's house. Read.
And entered into his house.
Mm-hmm.
And he made them a feast. And did bake unleavened bread.
Don't you want to eat now? He made them a feast. What courtesy, what kindness, what consideration, what selflessness. He made them a feast. Read on, brother.
And they did eat.
They did eat.
But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round.
You got it? Men and women today who want to find bypass for God's plain speaking says God has not addressed the subject. I want you to listen carefully. The men of the city knew. Remember, in those days, most cities had walls and gates. You had to enter. You see, it was the time in which men and women lived. Most cities needed wall because one tribe or one nation was quick to invade the other nation. So as to have a little security, you have to build wall around your city. That's why the Almighty God had to help Israel deal with the city of Jericho. It had war. So the men of the city knew that two strangers. It's like they were there looking out for any stranger who come to the city to trade in their depraved practice. Read, brother. Old and young, surrounded. Are we there? My God, what is it to you or me or to any man if Sister Crawford or Brother Vivian have somebody visiting them, two strangers? No, my God, that's their business if two strangers come into their house. But you see, these men had their agenda. The entire city, young and old. You know what that is telling you, brothers and sisters? The entire city had gone abnormal, depraved. And sin is like that. It will pull us down. Read on. All the people from every quarter surround Lot's house. What was the attraction? Two men visit Lot. That was the attraction. Read on.
And they called unto Lot. Where are the men?
Where are the men?
Which came into thee this night.
Wait, stop there. To know here in the context within which this is used is a biblical euphemism referring to know sexually. It is used other places in the Bible. Look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. That is Genesis 4, 1. Genesis 4, 1. And Adam knew Eve. You got it? I'm showing what the word to know. When the men of the city said to Lot, I almost want to knock down his door, the door of his house, that you are two men who visit you. We want you to send them out that we may know them. Wait, that doesn't mean we want to get acquainted with them, find out where they are from and how their family, how many children they have. How is their wife? No, that's not what they want to know. They want to have sexual relationship with the men. That's what to know here means. When you read it in chapter 19. And here you have it in Genesis chapter 4 verse 1. But not only Genesis. Yes, read it from that version, brother. From the NIV. Genesis chapter 19. When you're at chapter 4, let me hear 4, verse 1, verse 17, and verse 25. Just for you to know that to know here is a euphemism meaning to know sexually, to have sexual relationship. Let us hear it. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, verse 17, and verse 25. Let us hear it. Adam made love to his wife. That's right. Look at that was verse 4. Look at verse 17. Same chapter.
Cain made love to his wife.
And
she became pregnant.
That's right. You see, so to know, not only, you have read verse 4, you have read verse 17, verse 25. Same chapter.
That's right. So you see, to know is a term the Bible uses referring to sexual relationship. Now, wait. I'm not saying every time you're reading the Bible to know it means that. The context usually indicates whether it's referring to sexual relationship. What you need to know is that when the men said in verse 4 and 5, bring these men out that we may know them. It literally means that we may know them sexually. Are we all there? The sin of Sodom and Gomorrah had far outstripped the brute beasts. The sin of Sodom and Gomorrah leave the brute beast, the cow, the pig, the dog, the goat, leave the brute beast way behind, because brute beasts do not practice homosexuality. Are we all there? Are we all there? They don't. May I? It's not only outstrip. Remember the title to this series of lessons is taking sin to another level. It's not only outstrip the brute beast, it outstrip the common sinners. That is, it takes sin beyond the wrong things that men do every day. Now, men and women, those wrong sins that they do daily, they will be lost in hell for it if they do not repent and seek forgiveness. Because one section of this lesson will be looking on things like adultery, fornication, as against homosexuality. All of them come under fornication, because fornication, among the many things the word means, it means sexual immorality. But we will look at that not now. I'm just pointing out here that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah outstripped the common sinner. Even the natural brute beasts were outdone by this sin. But Lot's dilemma and choice, Brother Mitchell, repeat that. Lot's dilemma. That is, a dilemma is when your back is against the wall. You have a decision to make. Both of them are difficult. You talk about between the devil and the deep blue sea. Lot dilemma and choice going to shine some light on the sinfulness of same-sex relationship. Lot's dilemma and Lot's choice seem cruel and unthinkable. It tells us much of the sinfulness, the perversion, and the moral depth that homosexuality represents. Look at verse 5 through verse 9. We are dealing now with Lot's dilemma and Lot's choice. The choice that Lot made, it's going to shine some light on the sin of same-sex relationship. Read, brother.
Where are the men which came into thee this night?
Mm-hmm.
Bring them out unto us,
Mm-hmm.
That we may know them.
Mm-hmm.
And Lot went out at the door unto them.
Mm-hmm.
And shut the door after him.
Mm-hmm.
And said, I pray you, brethren.
I beg you, brethren.
Do not so wickedly.
Don't do. You see, Lot knew them. Lot knew exactly. Because when you and I read just ordinarily, bring out the men we want to know them. That doesn't sound any sinful way. But Lot knew that what? In fact, what? May I just drop this? What? I said it is a euphemism. Euphemism is used when you use a milder, in English, when you use a milder expression than the more vulgar open one. So in the original, it's really that we want to have sex with them. That's really. You see, that's what they said to Lot. You see. Read.
Behold now.
Mm-hmm.
Are
you following? Lot is speaking to the men. He came out of the house. The angels were in the house. Up to that time, he didn't know that they were angels. You see? And he shut the door. And he's begging his fellow citizens of Sodom and Gomorrah, don't do so wickedly. Oh, what wickedness, Lot? We just want to know them. Lot knew exactly what they wanted. And Lot see that not just as wicked, because I don't know if you are noticing with me that what Lot is suggesting seems unthinkable. I don't know if you are noticing. What Lot is suggesting is unbearable. Read that again, brother.
Behold now,
mm-hmm.
I have two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
You
all get the point? I have two daughters. They have never known man sexually. Uh-huh.
Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do eat to them as is good in your eyes.
Stop there. No, I don't forget what I was saying. I just want you to think over what has just been read. I have two daughters, they're virgin. They have never known man. I'm willing to give them to you for you to do with whatever you want. What? Brothers and sisters, that is unthinkable. Huh? That is unthinkable. Because that is sinful, it is wrong. Are you willing, Lot, to permit the abuse, the barbaric abuse of your two daughters? Yes. Why, Lot? That's a lesser sin. It is sinful, you know, because you have fornication, even though the Old Testament may not use that word here, that's what is involved. If they were married as verse 10 and 11 suggests, we're not going to verse 10 and 11, they were either betrothed, engaged to be married, or they were married, most likely engaged to be married. But Lot was willing to permit this barbaric abuse of his two daughters to avoid these men committing an homosexual act. You get the point? It's where you are, you talk about dilemma. Are a hard choice between the rock and a hard place, between the devil and the deep blue sea. Here you have it. Should I let them permit them to have their immoral way with these two visitors? Or should I permit them to abuse my two daughters? Lot would rather his two daughters be abused. As I said, I find that unthinkable. Truly. But it's choosing the lesser of two sins.
Right.
One is abnormal and unnatural. A man, you see, Lot knew that a man was never made by God, a man or a woman. A man was never made by God to relate sexually to another man. A woman was never made by God to relate sexually to another woman. That is what was in Lot's head. That this is abnormal. But Lot, what you are doing, what you suggest dear with your daughter is sinful. Yes, yes, I know it's sinful, Lot would say. But it is not as grave, abnormal, perversion as homosexuality. Are we all there? Read on a little further, brother. Read on a little further. Mm-hmm.
And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will need and will need to be a judge.
Wait. I hope you get the drift there. They are referring to Lot. There is a good chance Lot might have been what we call mayor of the city. It seems as if Lot had developed such great, the people of the city had such great respect for Lot that cases, it seems, was tried by Lot. That's why when you read of a person, when Absalom wanted to take over from David, he placed himself at the gate of the city. That was the center of civic activity, judgment, and city council meeting was held at the gate. So when you read that Lot sat at the gate, it is telling you of the important position Lot held. So now they are accusing him that, so this guy sojourned. When I was growing up, if you weren't born in my district, they call you come from yonder. That's right. If you are not a born there, you might be living there for 5 or 6 or 7 years. They still call you come from yonder. I'm not a come from yonder in Scott Pass. That's right. Anyway, but they're saying now that Lot is a come from yonder. Lot have been in Sodom and Gomorrah, but they know he traveled and settled there. They are saying this guy is not a born here, and he wants to be the judge over us. Read on.
Now will we deal worse with thee?
Oh, Lord, have mercy. In other words, if you do not let those two men out for us to do with them what we want, we will deal worse with you. Read on, brother. You see how aggressive they are? Let me stop here. I said it to Sister Mitchell this morning. Brother Morrison, I think, mentioned it. Was it in his prayer? Sometimes people take their evil and their indiscipline to an extreme where it put righteous indignation. When I read this morning, here these people having party in this time, the government announced. It's not that the government just come up with something that it's political. No. For us not to have things like party or gathering that involve close socialization is for our own good. They're having party. And the police heard some man stop. And they killed the poor man. Well, you know, it when people want to have their own evil ways and the wickedness that comes along with it and the inconsiderateness. I trust with God's help, the police will not stop until they found the people who were involved in that wrong. Now, what is the point? Is that people can be so aggressive with their wrong. No, people do wrong. People slip up. But my God, be conscious that it is wrong. Don't be so brazen that you do not care how you destroy others with it. Read now, brother, who will stop you?
And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot.
Yes. That means they were determined and aggressive. You notice that it seems as if aggressiveness, sexual aggressiveness, comes with homosexuality. The men and women who approach sexual relationship in a normal way don't march on the street about their rights. That's right. It is the lesbian and the homosexual who will march for their rights. That's right. It seems as if the more degrading our sinfulness becomes, the more aggressive we become. Read, brother. You see, they almost break down the man's door. Read.
But the men put forth their hands.
The angel, that is. You see, you and I can speak from the point of view of hindsight. We know that it's angel. Up to this point, Lot didn't know they were angel. The angel put forth their hands and pulled Lot in. Read.
And put Lot into the house. Mm-hmm. And shut the door.
Uh-huh. Wait, I want you to notice something here. Wait. I don't want us. The angel blind these aggressors. These homosexual aggressors blind them. But the story doesn't end there. May I? Normal men, when the wrath of God is demonstrated, it makes them want to desist from their sinfulness. Huh? That's normal men and women, sinful men and women, who commit normal sin. Normal sin takes people to hell. Well, in fact, it is normal sin that's going to take men and women to hell. But the fact is, when God demonstrates his wrath against normal sin, men and women desist, are checked. Huh? But watch here, read on, brother.
Both small and great.
Mm-hmm.
So that they weary themselves to find the door.
You get the point? Them no go home. They were struck with blindness by the angel. You would imagine that they would be so frightened and fearful, they would ask somebody to lead them to their house. My God, they were still looking for the door of Lot's house. Huh? Now, what I said, when you notice the aggressiveness and the pride with which homosexuals talk today, it's like they're the only one who have right. And nobody wants to take away their God-given right. Truly. What we want the homosexual lesbian to know, that is not only sinful, it is abnormal. It is unnatural. It is degrading for any human being. If even when struck with blindness. It matters not to them, they were still trying to find the door. You know, brothers and sisters, the point is, in fact, let me make a few more statements and finish. What this shows to is the intoxicating effect of sin. Sin intoxicates, where it makes people do things that you wonder if they don't think. And what we are showing here is that this sinfulness, in fact, a few more points and the lesson will be yours. Remember, it was Lot's recognition of and respect for God's sexual law governing all human beings that made Lot was so willing to sacrifice the honor of his daughters to the barbarianism that these men. You notice that even with that suggestion, they did not accept what Lot suggests, you know. They did not. Peter and Jude look back on this abnormality and made reference to it. Look at 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, 6 through 9. Quick. These will be the two last passage. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 through 9. Quick. What verse is that? Yes, read. You're at the right place. Mm-hmm.
And turning
the city of Sodom
into ashes.
Who did that? God. You got that? Don't move from the passage. Why? Punishment for the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. Punishment for the sin. He turned the entire city into ashes, burn it up for the sin. Now, this shows God's attitude towards same-sex relationship. Read on.
Condemn
the city with an overthrow. Read on. Making them an example unto those who afterward would live ungodly. Are we all there? Don't move from the passage. The Holy Spirit in Peter is take Peter's mind back to Sodom and Gomorrah, the homosexual practice, and mention it here in the New Testament, so that we would also take warning if we live ungodly. Are we all there? Read on, brother.
Deliver just Lot.
Vex. With the filthy manner of life. That's what the word conversation means, manner of life. Lot was vexed with the filthy manner of life. What, brother?
Of the wicked.
Read.
Before that righteous man
dwelling among them.
Seeing and hearing.
Vex his righteous soul. You know, for 18 years I've been saying, I've heard preacher so often our own preachers cast negative things about Lot, and it's a misunderstanding of when Lot chose, when Abraham told Lot to choose, and the place where Lot chose. You know, I've heard people, you know what, I searched the Bible, not just now, for umpteen years, I searched the Bible to find where inspiration, where heaven, where the Almighty God made one negative statement about Lot, and there is none. Lot was considered righteous. The very life the man lived in Sodom and Gomorrah is under scrutiny here. And God is praising the man for the stand that he take. Jude also, in Jude chapter 1, verse 7 through 8, look back on the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, this took place under the patriarchal dispensation. We won't have time to look under the Mosaical dispensation and the Christian dispensation. You know what? We are going to make that. We have to. The lesson, there are a lot to share on that, but time is gone. And I definitely want to complete this series of lessons. So we will have to make that another, or look on that lesson another time, where we will look on, watch here now, we will look on not just homosexual relationship, we will look on bisexual relationship in the Bible. We will be looking on, when we come back to this lesson, some men who want to relate sexually to both men and women, bisexual relationship. You know, it is unfortunate, but it's good that the Bible deals with that also. That the Bible addresses it. And there's so much. In this case, we are going to see where one tribe was almost wiped out. Wait. By the other tribe of Israel, by God's permission. By God's permission. We are going to see sin and wrong which grew out of homosexual tendency that move 11 tribe of Israel to gang up against one tribe. The sin which grew out of homosexual tendency. And when the Israelite asked God, should we go up against our fellow Israelite? The Almighty God didn't say, no, don't go. God said, go. So there's much more to learn from God's response to homosexual relationship. And in that last lesson, I'm hoping to take a few minutes comparing normal, what we'd call the normal fornication with man and woman, which is as sinful as you get, and homosexuality. Brother Mitchell, if homosexuality is called fornication, and a man and a woman relating to each other outside of marriage is called fornication, are they not the same? Yes and no. But I'll go in more detail. Well, the Bible will go in more detail when we pick up on this subject. You have heard enough this morning. Just looking on Sodom and Gomorrah, and how we didn't have time to show you how the Almighty God burned up the city. How the angel led Lot up. We didn't have time to show you how when Lot went to call, when the angel indicate that Come, Lot, we are going to ask you to leave the city. It is marked for destruction. And Lot said, give me a chance to go and call my son-in-law. I don't want them to get burned up. You know what his son-in-law did? They laugh at him and mock him. But when we come back, we will not be on the patriarchal age. We will be on the Mosaical age and the Christian age. The knowledge you gain from this lesson, you are to use it to guide your own life and to help others. It places you in a better position than the men and women out there who are playing smart aleck, telling you that God has never spoken explicitly on the subject. This is supposed to put you in a better position to explain to them that God speaks plainly. We're about to stand. If you're here today, if you're not a child of God, you can become a Christian today. Hearing God's word, believing it, repenting of your sin, confessing faith in Christ, and getting baptized for the removal of your sin. If you are strayed, backslidden, grown weak, what better time than now to come and recommit your life to Christ?